Atamaria, good morning. Coming up in today's bulletin, the electricity authority in the firing line, the conditions that led to out-of-control housing, and the latest from the financial markets. An investment analyst has slammed the electricity authority for inserting itself between energy companies and industrial power users during contract negotiations. The regulator has rushed through a temporary rule change which requires official sign-off on supply deals of more than 150 megawatts. It comes as Tiwai Point Smelter and power companies Meridian and Contact begin contract talks to keep the smelter open beyond 2024. The regulator has previously suggested the smelter's current cut-price deal cost each household an extra $200 per year. But Devon Fund's head of retail, Greg Smith, says the rule change is a knee-jerk reaction.
It's not a great look. Doesn't set a great precedent. Obviously, negotiations around Tiwai are very much sort of been near front page news, you know, for some time, and obviously on the belief that that contract will be extended beyond 2024. But the regulator is trying to intervene here and introduce an unnecessary layer of red tape, as mentioned, and effectively disrupt market
really
contract negotiations.
Greg Smith says he doesn't see how consumers will benefit from the temporary rule change. Surging house prices have been driven by cheap money, not enough land, and the tax system, according to a new report. A joint paper from Treasury, the Reserve Bank, and Ministry of Housing and Urban Development used Hamilton and Waikato as a case study. Over two decades, house prices in the region rose nearly fourfold, as did land prices. The head of the study, Dominic Stevens of Treasury, says falling interest rates stoked demand but should also have lifted house building. But he says a lack of land meant the benefit of lower rates lifted land prices and the gains were protected by the tax system.
Under those conditions, when interest rates fall, the benefit of those lower interest rates gets capitalised into land values. Land prices rise alongside house prices and there's no real change in the incentive to build new houses. No particular supply response. And this is why we see in New Zealand, the big global decline in interest rates led to higher house prices and rents that have evolved broadly in line with incomes over 20 years.
Dominic Stevens says population growth and rising building costs were secondary factors in the strong housing market. Auckland Airport says a return to business as usual is lagging behind other nations. Chief Executive Kari Hurihanganui says it's more conservative than international estimates that the global industry will be back at pre-pandemic levels in 2024. She says New Zealand and the rest of the Asia-Pacific region is 6 to 9 months behind North America and Europe on a return of services.
We're saying 70% by December this year. Australia is saying 72%. Singapore is saying 67%. But if you look on a trajectory perspective, we are in line with what some of those other regions have done.
Forsyth Barr Head of Research Andy Bowley says Auckland Airport may be a tad conservative, but says it will depend on when and if international airlines return.
I think over time they will get back to where they were, but there's a number of question marks over the next year or two, particularly around Chinese carriers, you know, when and in what capacity they return to Auckland, particularly in the context of providing passenger services.
Auckland Airport currently has 17 international airlines travelling to 28 destinations, just over half of pre-pandemic levels. Well, turning to the markets, Wall Street's main indices are struggling for direction, mixed bag so far. Investors are scrutinising the Federal Reserve's July meeting minutes. Fed policymakers still committed to hiking rates to tame inflation. The Dow Jones is down 0.1%, the S&P 500 up 0.2% and the NASDAQ up 0.2%. The NZX Top 50 closed down 39 points, or a third of a percent, to 11,814. New Zealand dollar trading at 62.6 US cents, 90.4 Australian, 52.4 British pence, 0.620 euro, 85 Japanese yen, and 4.24 Chinese yuan. Brent crude oil up 3%, $96.55 a barrel, and gold is down $5 to be $1,772 US dollars an ounce. I'll have updated numbers for you around 8:30.